Today is Saturday, the 8th of April 2023, and we are all gathered here for the 77th session on mindfulness for beginners. Apologies for the slight delay there. There was a technical issue at the beginning. Apologies for that. And our session will continue as usual for today's date. And on behalf of all of us, I would like to welcome with much respect Venerable Bhante Homagamu Dhammo Kusala Thero for representing Nissaramaniya Forest Monastery and arriving into today's session. And I would also like to welcome all those of you who are participating through the Zoom channel and also the live streaming over the Satipatthasala Foundation's Facebook page. Now, to give you a small note on how the proceedings will take place, we will start up the session with in-session mindfulness practice, and then we will move on to the talk, and then we will move on to the question and answer session where written reports and verbal questions will be brought to the attention of Bhante for insightful advice from Bhante. So without taking any further time, I would like to invite with much respect Venerable Bhante Homagamu Dhammo Kusala Thero to commence with the in-session mindfulness practice. Over to Bhante, much merits.
Thanks, Namantha. Hello, everybody. So today's session, we will start with a mindful walking practice. Probably we can take 15 minutes to do a walking practice today. For this, you have to make sure that there's some space where you can walk back and forth. If there are any obstacles, you can clear them. Make sure that you can walk comfortably. And when you have that path, you start walking and simply try to be aware. You keep your eyes open, probably directed towards the floor in front of you. Then in a comfortable manner, you walk and try to be aware that you are walking. Try to notice what you feel when you walk. So that's what we are going to do. And when we observe like that, we might notice that our body is walking. We feel various bodily sensations. These sensations are a sign that our body is walking. You feel the texture of the ground. Maybe it is a cement floor. Maybe it is a wooden floor. You feel the texture. You feel the temperature of the ground. Maybe it is cool, maybe it is warm. You feel those sensations as well. Again and again, you try to be mindful that you are walking. Try to continue the walk with mindfulness. Time to time, various other things might come to you. Your attention might go to the surrounding sights or the sounds that you hear, or maybe even various thoughts, mental images, future planning. These things may occur, but after a while you become aware that you are thinking. After a while you become aware that you are storytelling. With that awareness, you can simply return to the present moment, know that you are walking again and again. Allow these things to come and go naturally while you are aware, while knowing that you are walking. So that's the simple practice that we are going to do. So I invite all of you to join the walking session. You can turn on the video and join more actively. As a group, let's try to practice mindful walking for a few minutes. Okay, now you can return back to your seats. So that's our time for today. And we tried to practice mindful walking today. So this is just to give you an idea so you can practice on your own. Try to reserve some time for mindful walking. Even if you can't reserve a separate time, still during the day-to-day activities, you walk few kilometers daily. So during this time, you can try and be mindful every now and then. On average, it is said that a person is walking around 5 kilometers per day. So that's about 7,500 feet steps. So you can try and practice mindful walking during these times and try to be present with the walking more and more. With that, Namanta, you can take over.
Thank you very much, Maritspanthi. Next up is the talk on mindfulness, on anger as a chosen topic for this month. On behalf of all of us, I would like to invite Banthi to commence with the talk for today.
Okay, everyone. So we will take some time to discuss a little bit about the practice. Trying to relate the practice to the topic that we are discussing during this month. Now, let me start today's talk like this. Now, we see garbage trucks in the city. They move around the city collecting garbage. And when the garbage is piling up, they want some place to dump it. Dumping grounds are needed. So that's how the garbage trucks are operating. They collect garbage from everywhere, and whenever necessary, they dump it. Right? So that's how even some people are. Everywhere they go, they collect garbage. They find fault. And they go on collecting. They go on piling up the garbage. And at times, they will come to you and they will use you as a dumping ground. They will dump their garbage to your grounds and they will go away. So this is happening again and again. And when we deal with such people, when such incidents happen, it is natural that we get annoyed by these things. It is natural that we get angry with them. But you have to make sure that you don't become a dumping ground. If you get annoyed, if you get angry, then it's like you are becoming a dumping ground. So anybody can come and dump garbage in your grounds and move away, right? And you are suffering again and again. You are complaining. You are worrying about what to do with this garbage. So that's how we are. We have to make sure that we are not accepting these things. Let's say somebody come to you and say something bad. Dump some garbage in front of you and they move away. If you accept it, then probably the whole day you are worrying about this incident. You are annoyed by this incident. Although you work, although you go home, still your mind, you worry about this thing that happened. You work, but you worry about this thing that happened. You go home, talk to your family members. Still, you worry about this thing that happened. So in a way, our mind, we voluntarily accept these things. We voluntarily allow other people to come and dump garbage in our grounds. So you have to make sure that you are not accepting these things. You have to make sure that you don't become a dumping ground to other people's garbage. In a way, it is difficult because it's like a compulsive reaction from our mind. Suddenly, we accept it. With few seconds, we accept it. As soon as that person says something, we accept it. As soon as something happens, we take it personally. That's how our mind is. That's our behavior. So in a way, you have to train yourself not to have this compulsive reaction. Otherwise, you just become a dumping ground to other people's garbage. Whenever they want, they can come and simply dump their garbage and go away. And you will accept that and you will worry for days, even for weeks. That's how we usually are. That's what happens when somebody blames you. That's what happens when somebody does something that you don't like. As soon as you hear those words, as soon as you see them do that, you become angry. You become annoyed. You take it personally. That anger, that annoyance, that taking personally comes as a compulsive reaction. You don't have to think. Suddenly, you grab it. Suddenly, you accept it. As soon as you hear it, you accept it. As soon as you see it, you accept it. That's how our mind is. If you don't know, then it's much easier to be at peace. Because you don't know somebody blamed you. Because you don't know somebody did this. As long as you don't know, then you are fine. Then you are at peace. Soon you hear those words. Soon you got to know about the incident. Then you become angry. Then you become annoyed. This is what happens. That's why maybe some people, they think that ignorance is bliss. You don't know anything, you are not aware. So you are blissful. You don't worry about things because you don't know. You don't worry about other people's blames because you don't know. In a way, that's true. As long as you don't know, then you are fine. When you hear those words, when you get to know the incident that happens, suddenly you get this compulsive reaction. In a way, some people try to encourage the ignorance more and more. There are certain ways to encourage the ignorance. Sometimes they have various addictions. Drugs, various other addictions. Food addictions, then sexual addictions, various addictions are there. In a way, that's more like encouraging the ignorance in our mind. When you are lost in those things, you don't have to worry about the family issues. When your attention is with those things, you don't have to worry about your reality. You try to avoid these things. You try to be ignorant and try to find peace. In a way, that works, but it only works for a short period. It won't work for a long period because soon you will get to know about the reality. Soon the problems arise in your mind again. Then probably you need a higher dose to manage that situation. Again and again, you are feeding your addiction. Again and again, you are in this vicious cycle. Because you try to find a solution through the ignorance. Awareness is somewhat difficult. It is harder to be aware of the blames and still not react. It is harder to be aware of the actions and still not react. That option is much harder. Because as soon as you get aware, you notice that you get this compulsive reaction. As soon as you are aware, you notice that you are annoyed. As soon as you are aware, you notion give the awareness. Even when you start practicing, there are three popular complaints about mindfulness practice. What are the complaints that we hear usually? As long as you don't practice mindfulness, you don't have these complaints. As long as you are ignorant, you don't have these complaints. But soon you be mindful, you will complain regarding these things. What are those three complaints that we usually hear? From the beginner, as soon as they start practicing mindfulness, they start to see faults of other people more and more. Soon you start practicing awareness, you notice the faults of your family members. You notice the faults of your co-workers. You even notice the faults of the nature around you. Why is that? Because now your mind is aware. Now you see things much better. Now you hear things much better. Now you feel things much better. Now even you feel your own thoughts, emotions much better. So it is natural that you find fault in other people. So this is one of the early side effects of mindfulness. As soon as you start practicing, you start to see the false center. You go to a monastery and you'll hear a lot of people complaining about others. Sometimes they say, these people, they are making noises, so I can't meditate. Sometimes they say, it is too hot in Sri Lanka, so I can't meditate. Then you send them to a cold country.
Bhante, I think we cannot hear you too well. I think the signal is weak at the monastery for some reason. Okay, I think Bhante will rejoin. Will need to rejoin the session because he seems to have dropped out. Okay.
Namant, can you
hear? Yes, Bhante. There was some signal failures happening in the last.
I had a trouble from my end, I guess.
Okay. All right. Okay, Bhante. Now I can hear well. Let's continue and see then.
Okay. So the second symptom is that finding faults with themselves. You find your own faults more and more. Sometimes you complain that you are breaking precepts. Sometimes you complain about your thoughts, emotions. I get evil thoughts, emotions. My thoughts and emotions are very bad. I get jealousy. I get annoyance. I get angry. So various complaints are there. In a way, now you are aware about yourself more and more. You are aware about your thoughts, emotions more and more. You are aware about your reactions more and more. Then it is natural that you start complaining about yourself. You find faults with yourself. That's why most of the practitioners, they start a pain-seeking behavior. They start suffering inside. They blame themselves for various historical matters. They start blaming themselves about their thoughts, emotions. They start blaming themselves about their own actions. So in a way, You see, they start finding faults with themselves. So that's the second symptom. Then the third one is you are always annoyed. You feel this never-ending friction all the time. Because you are aware, you start to feel the friction in this body. You start to feel the friction in this mind. That ongoing friction is there always. As soon as you are mindful, you feel this. So these are the three great symptoms of mindfulness when you start practicing. You start to notice the faults of other people. You start to notice your own faults. Then you are annoyed all the time. You feel this friction. Never-ending friction is there. Always functioning, working, dealing with other people. There's this friction. So some people might suggest, now when you try to be aware, these symptoms appear. When you try to be aware, it is more and more difficult. So they would prefer the ignorance. They would prefer the drugs. They would prefer some other addictions that they have. And they try to use those things as a band-aid to cover the real problem. But the practitioner, in a way, they have the strength. In a way, they are brave. They try to face the real problem. When they face the real problem, it is natural that initially you get annoyed. It is natural that initially you find faults with yourself. It is natural that initially you find faults with other people. But you have to know that this is only a phase. This won't last forever. You have to somehow continue little by little. You have to somehow continue step by step and go through this phase. And when you go through this phase, you realize that after some time, after some hours of practice, your mind calms down. You develop this ability to be aware of these things, but not to have that compulsive reaction. You are aware of other people's faults, but you don't get that compulsive reaction. You are aware of your own faults, but you don't start blaming yourself. You are aware of this friction within you. But you can somehow survive with it. So that ability, that strength will develop in you. It takes some time. That's the issue. It takes some time, weeks. It takes some months of practice. Then only do you realize that although I notice other people's faults, I don't get this urge to complain. Although I notice my faults, I don't get this urge to complain. Although I notice there's this friction, I can somehow survive with it. That's the real relief that you get from the practice. That is the steps towards lasting peace that we are talking about. Otherwise, if we try to find peace through the ignorance, then it is only temporary. As soon as the drugs fade away, then the real problem appears. As soon as the addictions fade away, the real problem appears. So you have to make sure that you are finding a lasting solution. That lasting solution is always through the awareness, not through the ignorance. You realize when you practice again and again, you are aware of these things, but still you don't get that compulsive reaction. That's why it says the practitioner sees the things around him. The practitioner hears the things around him. The practitioner feels the things around him. The practitioner gets thoughts and emotions as well. But they are not moved by these things. They don't get that urge to react suddenly. That peace is not through the ignorance. He is purely aware. He knows that these things are happening. He knows that these people are doing these things. He knows that these people are talking like this. But still, he is able to not accept the garbage from the other people. He is able to not accept the garbage from the surrounding. So that is the real peace that will appear within one's mind. And he is not always, sometimes people think that when you are practicing, not reacting, not responding is the way. That's also a mistake. If you say, I am not acting, if you say, I am not doing anything, then that's not the proper way. But that person doesn't have this urge to act. So in a way, he finds a balance in between not acting versus the acting, forcing, and ruining things. There are two extremes, not acting at all, then ruining by forcing things. This person is acting, this person is aware, but he knows the proper timing. That's what they say, effortless action. There's this Japanese term called wu-wei. The proper translation would be not forcing. Some people translate it as not acting. That's not true. Instead, he is not forcing. He is waiting for the right moment to act. Good example would be the sport, the people who are playing judo, they hustle with the other person till they find the proper moment. They are not always exerting power. They are not always exerting force. Instead, they wait. They just keep hustling till the right moment. When the right moment is there, when your partner, when your opposition is off balance, he uses his full energy to throw that person across the room. That's the power applied in the proper moment, in the proper time. So that's how the practitioner is reacting. Not always, not forcing anything. He's aware, he's waiting for his moment. When that moment is there, he is applying the force and the opposition would go across the room flying. So that's how you will find the proper balance. It's not like you are not acting at all. It's not like you are forcing everything. Instead, you are aware. You wait for the correct moment. And when the correct moment is there, you apply force. You find the proper balance and then you apply force. In order to do that, you should have these qualities in your mind. You shouldn't get that compulsive reaction in your mind. If you get that compulsive reaction, then there's no choice for you. So try to gradually develop this practice and see how you can improve this ability little by little. It comes with the practice. In a way, it says it comes with the formal practice hours. In a way, it says that it comes with the cushion hours, the sitting hours. I would suggest probably the formal practice hours. That's much better indicator. You do your mindful walking, mindful sitting as a formal practice. And if you count the hours, then with time, you realize that you are gaining this ability. Your mind doesn't accept the garbage from other people. They just can't come and dump whatever they need and go. If you're accepting, then you suffer. If you become a dumping ground to other people's garbage, then you suffer. But if you have this ability in your mind not to accept, whatever the garbage other people throw at you, only to accept what is necessary, only to accept what you are willing to accept. That's the proper way of the practice. That ability you will gain little by little, not suddenly, not within a day, not within a week. Instead, gradually you keep practicing. Gradually you get to know the proper balance. Gradually you develop this ability to act in the proper timing. That way you can improve yourself. That way you can deal with this world. You deal with the world, you deal with the co-workers, you deal with the family members, but still you can maintain a certain kind of a peace at your heart. Sometimes it goes up and down for a while, but again after a while it comes to the middle. Again you feel this peace in your mind. Sometimes you feel friction. But again, you feel that somehow you go through this friction and again you add peace. That type of a peace is what is lasting peace. Otherwise, you go to some place, you are peaceful for a while. Then again, you come back home, you suffer. You go to a party, you are peaceful for a while. Again, you come back, you suffer. You go and drink something, get some drugs. You are peaceful for some time. Again, you become sober, you suffer. That's not the way. Instead, you find this ability in your mind. You develop this ability in your mind where you are able to choose how you act, where you are able to choose how you react. You don't get this compulsive reaction. Instead, if you are willing, you can react. If you are not, just let it be. That is how you will be able to deal with this world with peace at heart. If you don't have that ability, then the wise people around you, they can use you. They can use you for their advantage. They know that you get agitated due to this. They know how to press buttons and control you. They know what type of garbage they can come and dump at you. Don't allow other people to control you like that. Don't allow other people to come and dump garbage whenever they need, whatever they need. Don't allow them to do that. You have a choice. You have the ability whether to accept it or not. If you're accepting, then of course you suffer. But if you're not accepting, then nobody can come and dump garbage. Those things won't matter to you anymore. That's the real peace. That's the real ability that we are talking about. So we invite all of you to try and practice. Try to feel this. Try to notice this. Try to experience this within your own mind. So with that, we can move towards the next part, Namanth.
Thank you very much, Merits Bhante. So next we have the question and answer session, and I would like to invite Sonali to commence the Q&A session. To Sonali, thank you.
Thank you, Namanta. There's a little bit of disturbance from a construction next door. I hope you don't hear it. Thank you for sharing the slide, Namanta. Before we start the question and answers and the reports, we will run the beginner's guide to mindfulness to make any newcomer aware of the process. So Nisaranwana has developed two videos for you to watch to begin with. There is one about mindful walking and mindful sitting. Once you watch these videos, you can take some time to practice. The recommendation is practicing daily, mindful walking and mindful sitting. And also through the program, we do recommend you to be aware and probably report on an awareness, a time where you were aware in your daily mindfulness practice as well. So once you are have practiced, if you could write down your reports, and in these three sections, mindful walking, mindful sitting, and daily mindfulness and send it over to us via the Google form or the email beginnersnv@gmail.com. We will then present these reports to Bhante, and Bhante will give his guidance to us. And that is the end of that. We will move on to the report. We've got two reports received today. The first one is walking meditation. Initially stood noting weight on both feet and position of hands clasped at the back, left hand holding right wrist. Walked noting left and right feet being placed. Thoughts noted, mind straying from feet, but coming back to them on and off. After almost 20 minutes, mind stayed on sensations on the feet, noting weight, temperature, dampness, noted smell of flowers in a vase, and mind proliferating as a result, but came back to feet. Observed hand holding onto the wrist tightly and sweat on the wrist. Position of hands changed to holding hands together in front. Mind went back to feet. Then observed placing of heel, midfoot and toes and beginning and end of each touch sensations. Sounds heard, not distracting. Walked 1 hour. Sitting meditation. Sat mindfully after the walking session. Noted position of feet touching leg and cushion and pressure of weight on cushion. Hands on lap, warmth of the lower hand and cooler exposed hand. Clothes touching body observed in places and movements of clothes with each breath. Mind went to neck holding head straight and a dry sensation noted by mind as unpleasant. Observed swallowing of saliva despite this. Lips touching, hair touching neck and face, eyelids touching each other noted. Mind went to breath, which was primary object. Breath observed most prominently in left nostril. After a short time, in and out breaths were equal in length and became almost incomparable. The breath broke up and gaps noted between the tiny breaths. After a short time, a long in-breath came spontaneously, and after this, the tiny breaths appeared much lower than at the nostril and later well above the nostril. Then breaths noted to move in and out like a swing, the rate gathering faster and faster, then slowing down. Eventually, it disappeared for a short time and reappeared. Sounds heard and gaps in between noted. Mind came back to breath. Some thoughts came and went, but not too distracting. Meditated for 45 minutes. Daily mindfulness. Was looking after a 2-month-old baby in a room at a wedding while parents were attending the wedding. Was very happy to help, noted the disinterest of the guest arriving and what they were wearing, etc., which was very different to what mine would have been like in the past. Also noted the genuine disinterest in the proceedings and in the lack of interest in dealing with which would have aroused more interest in the past. Surprised that 12 hours passed very fast, managing to recite the Thun Sutta, listen to Dhamma discussion and read a book. Parents had to return to room to feed baby every few hours with feed friends each in tow to see the new baby. Notice lack of tiredness at the end of the late night. End of report. Much gratitude to organizers and Bhante.
Okay, now when you read your report, there are certain things that I noticed. Now, usually we feel 3 type of things. There are 3 ways to experience something, right? One thing is you experience something pleasant way, you experience something unpleasant way. Then you experience things neutral ways, right? Now, in your report, if you read that report again, if you see that observation, there are so many neutral things that are there. Usually, we are ignorant towards these neutral things. We don't know, we are not aware that they exist. Now you start to feel so many sounds, so many bodily sensations are there, so many tiny, tiny thoughts are there. They are neutral. They come and go. We don't even know that they are coming and going. But with the practice, you become more and more aware towards them. That's why you feel like a vast flow when you start practicing. You start to feel this massive quantity of neutral things. Then once in a while, you get these pleasant things like the smell, pleasant smell of a flower. And when you experience pleasant things, your mind suddenly notices it and start storytelling. That's how you mention the smell of the flower made your mind proliferate about it. Then at times you notice the unpleasant things as well. When unpleasant things come, then again your mind start proliferating about those things. So you can see these pleasant things, unpleasant things, they trigger us. Usually towards the pleasant things, we have attraction. Usually towards the unpleasant things, we have aversion. So your thought patterns run according to that. When you experience pleasant things, you feel that there is this attraction towards them. You want to experience it again and again. Unpleasant things, there is this aversion towards it. You want to get rid of it, right? But now, as the practitioner, you notice all these three types. And you notice the driving force behind them. Neutral things, the driving force is ignorance. Pleasant things, the driving force is attraction. Unpleasant things, the driving force is aversion. Now, with the power of the observation, with the power of mindfulness, you are more and more aware about the neutral things. The ignorance disappears. You are more and more aware how you are attracting to these pleasant things. That attraction fades away. You are more and more aware about the aversion towards the unpleasant things. With that awareness, the aversion gradually fades away. This is the real practice that you can see. Now a whole mass of things are flowing. You are totally aware, but you don't get these reactions. You don't get these triggers. It's like a river flowing. The flow is there, but it doesn't grab your attention. It doesn't trigger you. So that's the way, that's the real practice. Gradually you are moving towards that. Now you can see certain things are there, they don't trigger you anymore. They just become a part of that massive flow that is running through. So this is how we can gradually develop our practice. Now imagine this 2-month-old baby, they experience things. But because their faculties are not well developed yet, they don't get triggered. They experience the pleasant things. They experience the unpleasant things. They experience the neutral things. But their faculties, their memory, it's not properly built yet. The faculties are not properly established. So that's why you feel that they are, in a way, they are blissful. Whatever that comes their way, they accept and they just lie there. But when they grow old, they start to become, they start their faculties grow and they start to get these reactions. They start to be ignorant towards the neutral things. They start to be attracted to the pleasant things. They start to have aversion towards the unpleasant things. So they have this potential. They have this seed. In the practice, it is called taints. Taints are there. These taints, they have the ability to corrupt the entire thing. So although the baby seems so peaceful, that seed of desire is still there. The taints are there. When the faculties are established, these taints will develop into a massive thing. And again, the same cycle continues. At the moment, they appear to be peaceful. At the moment, they appear to not grasp onto things. But when the faculties are established, the taints will rise. The taints will corrupt the whole system. That's the idea of the taints, right? You have a little bit amount. When you make yogurt, you put some taints. And with the power of that, the entire thing is made into yogurt. That fungus or something, it spreads. That's how the process is. So similarly, in this baby also, there's this seed. When they grow, when their faculties mature, then you can feel that those taints are at work. They create the memory, they create the feelings, they create the body, they create the thoughts, they create the consciousness. And again, they are caught in this process. So the way to escape this is when your faculties are grown, when your faculties are mature, through the practice only you can escape. It won't happen by chance. Instead, you have to gradually develop this ability. In your report, you have that part. You are more and more aware about these neutral things. You know the attraction towards the pleasant things. You know the aversion towards the unpleasant things. By knowing, you fade these things away. You fade the attraction away. You fade the aversion away. You fade the ignorance away. So keep on practicing. And at times you feel tired. At times you feel worried. They are just temporary. Keep practicing and you realize that they too pass. Whatever come into being shall pass. So continue. Continue and you can share your experience again as well.
Thank you very much, Bhante. Apologies for the noise from my house next door is a little bit loud. If it gets too loud, please do let me know. There is one more report for today. I will start with that. Mindful walking. Walked barefoot indoors on rugs. Felt various sensations on feet in contact with the floor. Transfer of body weight was more prominently felt when right foot was placed. After a few minutes, thoughts about the past noted, but these fell away. Attention returned to sensations of walking. Some sounds also heard, although these didn't disturb the mind. Walking continued at a natural pace. Noted how prominently the contact between the soles and the rug with ridges felt. Walked for half an hour. Mindful sitting. Sat on the cushion and adjusted the posture into a balanced position. After a body scan, the breath appeared, which was felt around nostrils. In-breath was cooler and out-breath was warmer. Some were longer and others shorter. After a while, the attention remained on the rhythm of breathing. Thoughts emerged and passed away. Awareness of breath noted again, which felt subtle. calm and peaceful feeling arose next, and this too passed away. Couldn't feel the breath for a while. Attention had moved to the feeling of pressure in the lower back. Urge to change the posture arose, but didn't. At times, the pressure felt stronger, but after a while, the awareness was on the side, slight swaying of upper body back and forth. Sat for 50 minutes. Mindfulness during the day. There was an unexpected change to a plan last week, which would have provoked an unhealthy emotional reaction in the past. But it felt okay to accept this change. A couple of bursts of disappointment arose, which passed away soon. Noted another development with work. While in a meeting, the urge to share own point of view noted. This awareness allowed time to choose how to proceed, whether to share what I thought or to keep quiet. Choose to keep quiet because of the realization that it was just another view. There were a few more times when, out of habit, the urge to add to what was being said by others in the meeting. Only once did I share information that felt relevant to the discussion. After the meeting, on reflection, noted that the mind was calmer and less agitated. Dear Bhante, look forward to your feedback. Much merit to the organizers and Bhante. That's the end of report, Bhante.
Okay, so we can relate that to today's discussion as well. Now you can see there are so many occasions that you can add something. You can add your own point of view. But you behaved not to add at times. Right? And whenever that is necessary, you can add. So that's what we meant when we say effortless action or the Wu Wei, not forcing. You are not forcing anything. You act when it is necessary. And when other people are pointing out wrong things, adding wrong things, you just keep quiet. No need to correct everything. They'll just figure it out. Probably not during the meeting, probably after 1 year or so, they'll figure it out. You never know. You are trying to be at peace. Even before the meeting, you are calm. After the meeting also, you are calm. Otherwise, if you keep correcting them, then other people also get annoyed. You also get annoyed. And there's no value addition. If there's a value addition, of course, you can do. Go to a meeting and see. People are talking about all the things in the world, not related to the topic. And probably 1 hour spent, 2 hours spent, and no point. So that's why you have to have meetings in a workplace, but the meetings have to be effective. If the leader is correct, if the leader has that ability, then most of the time it's effective. Otherwise, it's just a waste of time. That's why probably the Elon Musk is having some rules. He suggests no meetings. That's one of the rules. If you must have a meeting, make sure that it's not longer than 20 minutes. Make sure to talk only relating to the topic. That's a good way to kill your time. When you have meetings early in the morning till the afternoon, then you don't have any time to work. Because all the time they are talking all the things in the world, not related to the topic, not related to the meeting, but they are just talking. So in a way, you're agitated, annoyed. Other people are also getting agitated, annoyed. So this is a good practice. You know what is the correct thing. You are observing, you are aware, but you are not reacting. When it is necessary, when it is wanted, you contribute. So this is what we try to explain as effortless action or the Wu Wei, to act when it is necessary. Otherwise, you just keep quiet. It's like sometimes it feels like watching an accident that's about to happen. You know that they are adding wrong views. You know that they are going somewhere. But if you take it personally, you can't enjoy it. But if you become the bystander observing this process, sometimes it's like watching an accident that's about to happen. One person is adding a certain view. Another person is adding some totally different view. Then both of them are arguing about those things. So it's fun to watch. But if you take it personally, then probably you can't enjoy it. If you are the leader, then of course you can't enjoy it. If you are the owner of the company, of course you can't enjoy it. Probably the bystander sitting in a meeting and listening to the discussion, watching this, watching an accident that's about to happen, it's a fun thing. But when it is necessary, of course you can. When it is necessary, you can make your point. So this, you are aware. You are aware. You watch. You know what is happening. But you are not reacting. There's not this compulsive reaction. You don't get it. When it is necessary, you can adopt. This is the way of the wise. That's why it is said that there are people with eyes in this. There are people with. There are. Things, but they know what is right, they know what is wrong, and they just keep observing. That very observation is the practice. You are not taking a side. You are simply observing as a bystander. You are totally aware, and you know what is right, you know what is wrong, but you keep observing without getting involved in the process, without taking it personally. This observer is what matters. This observer. So try. Namanta?
Oh, yes, Bhante. I can hear. We can hear you now.
Yeah, there's some trouble from my end, I guess.
That's okay. That's fine. We can hear now.
So keep on observing. It's a good ability to develop. Okay, so now we'll move forward.
Yeah. Thank you, Bhante. We did cut off towards the end, but we heard most of it there, Bhante. We can all relate to this, the topic today, as well as the reports that was given. Most of the explanation that you gave to that, we can all relate to them. We've been there. We tried. We have reacted. I'm sure most of us can relate to this topic as well. That's the end of report. So we will move on to questions from now. Questions about the session or the reports or anything else. Please raise your Zoom hand and I will let you unmute yourself and ask the questions. Okay, Samantha, we can see your hand. Would you like to unmute and ask your question?
Thank you, Sonali. I think this question, Bhante did answer this question last week, but I just want to still clarify further to what Bhante's talk today, that really, as Sonali was saying, really resonates with everyone, especially me as well, about trying not to react to situations, to external situations, and just to respond wisely. And the problem I've noticed is that, first of all, is to buy that time, not to react. So I had to learn to be patient and awareness, as Bhante said, just observe. So quietly observe what's going on. And obviously, I need to be my sati. I think Bhante advised last time that I need to continue daily practice, which is I know what I need to do to increase my sati and along with the samadhi. So is that the key to get that confidence to be quiet and to be patient, to build up that sort of like strength and resilience to sort of say if someone is accused of going at you and you're just sort of like, you know, biting your tongue, not to react, just keeping quiet. Okay. I mean, so have your sharpness of the mindful and the concentration. And so that I can respond wisely. So is that what the benefit of my daily practice is, to increase my sati and the samadhi? The two go in hand in hand. Is that how I'm going to be able to just sit there and observe and take all the garbage, basically? Yeah, that's my question, Bhante. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, sit there and not take any garbage. That's the proper way. So you have to develop your faculties, right? What you can do is be mindful, allow the mindfulness to grow. The concentration and wisdom will follow, right? Formal practice is the way. Formal practice is needed. So you spend like 1 hour daily at least trying to do mindful walking and sitting. That approach is very valuable because you are naturally allowing these faculties to grow. Now imagine a small plant. You can water it. You can fertilize it. You can keep it in a proper place where it gets sunlight. But you can't pull the branches out, right? You have to allow it to naturally grow. So that's the same thing with the formal practice. You are watering it. You are putting the fertilizer. You are giving the necessary conditions. And you allow the faculties to mature naturally. So that's the support that you are giving with the formal meditation. You are giving with the formal practice. It feels like watering the plant. It feels the necessary conditions. And you do that part and you continue with your life. The remaining hours you do your things. Try to spend your life. Do it for a few months. Suddenly you realize now the plant has matured so much. Now the faculties have matured so much. Now you can see that there is this option. There is this choice. If you need, you can react. If you need, you can refrain from it. Earlier, you didn't have that choice. Earlier, you got this compulsive reaction. Suddenly, without even knowing, you reacted. Without even knowing, you said something. It feels like a stab in your mind. You hear the words, you reacted. You see the thing, you reacted. That's how it goes, right? With the mature faculties, you feel that there's this distance, so there's this gap. If you need, you can say something. If you need, you can keep quiet. In the meantime, you can use various tools. You can make sure that you take a break without reacting so swiftly. Those are only tools. Those are temporary. You can't really find a lasting approach, a lasting peace with these tools, but they help. Sometimes you go for a walk without talking. Sometimes you go for a break, you have a cup of coffee and come back. So those things are just tools. They will allow you to approach it temporary. You know, today you can survive with these tools. Tomorrow you can survive these tools, but you can't survive forever. During this time, you have to mature your faculties. You have to water them. You have to fertilize them. Then gradually when the faculties grow, you have this ability in your mind. You get this distance from. That is the difference. Now, even the earlier report, if that person took that meeting personally, then that person can't do it, no? That's why I said, if you are the leader, you can't do it. If you are the owner of the company, you can't do it because you take it personally. You can become the bystander. You can create this distance. You can simply observe if you are not taking it personally. Even the leader, even the owner, if they are not taking it personally, they become the best businessmen. They become the best leaders because they are not taking it personally. They know what is right. They know what is wrong. They are able to observe it without getting influenced by it. So that ability will even make you a great businessman. That ability will even make you a great leader. But it's a painstaking journey. You have to take it slow. You have to gradually develop these faculties. So try to spend some time with the formal practice. At least reserve 30 minutes, 1 hour for it. Then continue it for a few months. When you continue, it's like you are watering. It's like you are fertilizing. It's like you are giving proper conditions. With that, within few months, you realize now my faculties have matured. Now I am able to have a choice. But in the meantime, you have to make sure that you are practicing properly. Report about your walking experience. Report what you do. Report about your sitting experience. Report what you do. You have to make sure that you are practicing properly. Just because you walk doesn't mean you are meditating. Just because you sit doesn't mean you are meditating. That's the outside appearance. To the outside, it feels like you are meditating. To the outside, it feels like you are sitting like the Buddha. But you have to make sure that you practice properly. You have to make sure that you are doing the proper meditation. For that, you have to add your experience about the walking and sitting practice and get advice. Make sure that you are practicing properly. That practice should continue for a few months, few weeks. Then you realize that it is working. So that's the idea I want to give.
That's really helpful, Bhante. Yeah, because while you were talking, that just to quickly, the things that came to my mind was that, yes, I need to make the effort in order to progress if I'm to, you know, stop reacting and respond wisely. And also the reason understanding now is because of my ego is hurt. You know, that's always the case. If someone's, so that's why I'm reacting to save my, a safety net to help myself and then just react. I can't think of the word, but anyway, protect myself, basically, yeah. And then I'm just wondering, when you, Bhante, said to mature the faculties, is that by, so there are two big things, like my ego, the self, and also eventually seeing the impermanent nature, because sometimes I've seen in a gross way, like when I've been reacting to situations in the house, and then over repeated time, I'll say, oh, well, that doesn't last. I reacted badly. That ended. So next time I'm reacting is less and less and less. So that's in a gross way. But I'm just thinking through my meditation, if I can see the impermanent nature of things, my feelings, would that be improving my faculties eventually so that I can instantly then not react? Is that how I would be going forward, in the path eventually? And then later on, I will see that everything is a cause and effect and there's no me in here. And why my just awareness is what's important? Would that be the path that I will be eventually progressing towards? That's my question, Bhante.
If you can be present, that's the best way to practice. If you can you hear? It's breaking.
Yes.
Sonali, can you hear?
We can hear you, Bhante.
Yeah, if you can be present.
So now we can't.
Can you hear now?
We couldn't hear you then, Bhante. I think sometimes the video doesn't follow, but we could hear you till then. It seemed to be all right again.
Okay, so if you can be present, then that's the best approach towards the impermanence. Because being present means that you are taking everything as impermanent. If you take something as permanent, you can't be present. That's why sometimes you lose your attention. You get thoughts, you get carried away. You take something personally, you take something as permanent. So being present is the best approach towards the impermanence, right? Mm-hmm. So let it be seeing the impermanence or getting rid of the ego or finding a proper balance in life. Whatever the name you put, there's only one thing that you have to do. You have to keep on practicing. Some people, they even use these practices to gather more wealth. That's their choice. Some people, they use these practices to become better leaders. Some people, they use these practices to find the balance in their daily life, find the proper balance in their daily life. Some people, they want to see the impermanence. Some people, they want to get rid of the ego. Whatever you call it, you can put it under the same practice of mindfulness. So try to practice, try to be mindful more and more. There are so many tools you can use along the way, but they are just tools. They are just tools to support. Let it be seeing these things as impermanence, or seeing these things as non-self, seeing these things as unsatisfactory, whatever. All of them, they boils down to the same practice, mindfulness. And wherever you take your approach, you have to finally enter into this. If your mind takes everything as impermanent, then you are utterly present. You don't have to wander. You don't have to think thoughts. You don't get this proliferating mind, because your mind is taking everything as impermanent. As soon as something permanent hits you, then your mind starts proliferating. You get this compulsive reaction. You react without even knowing. That's the grab. That's the way that mind is. It is suddenly grabbing something as permanent. When that grab is there, then you start proliferating. You start reacting. You get these compulsive reactions. So try to practice. Try to be present more and more. You can spend some time doing the formal practice, then try to be present as much as possible during your day-to-day life as well. Gradually work few weeks for a few months, then gradually you realize that you are improving a lot.
Thank you, Bhante. That's really helpful. Yeah, being in the present moment with full awareness, that's what I need to do. Yeah, thank you, Bhante. Sadhu.
Thank you, Bhante. Thank you, Samantha, for that question. I can't see any more hands raised. If there are any questions, please raise your hand. We can allow a few more minutes. Bhante, thank you very much for this guidance. It is fascinating to think that we all were blissfully unaware babies once long time ago, and then made these choices of what's pleasant and unpleasant, and decided that we are reacting accordingly now. And then now we're almost wanting to go back to that blissful state again, to be detaching ourselves from all these faculties and to go back and develop ourselves to be like that. So it is very fascinating to think about that. I don't see any more hands raised, but I'm assuming this is the end Sonali, of the thoughts, Bhante. Yes, Bhante.
When you mention it, now the baby shows a lack of interest. Even the babysitter shows a lack of interest. But baby's lack of interest is not permanent, right? Because that lack of interest is because its faculties are not grown, not matured. Still, you don't have the taints spreaded into the faculties, right? But the babysitter's lack of interest may be due to the practice. So there's a difference. The baby lies there, shows a lack of interest, but there's seed of desire is there. Those stains are there. But the babysitter's lack of interest may be due to the practice. So which will last longer, which is a lasting kind of a peace that you can achieve. So it's a very nice analogy. If you can relate to it, we'll try and work as a group, try to develop our practice.
Yes, thank you very much, Bhante. It is something to ponder. Now, Bhante, it's back over to you.
Thank you so much, Sonali, and much merits, and also much merits to Bhante. Thank you, and also to all those who sent in the reports and also raised the verbal questions. We had a great session, very insightful. These sessions are becoming more and more insightful, so it's great. I would like to now wrap up the program because we are at the end of the proceedings for today. So I would like to mention with much respect Venerable Bhante's contribution representing the monastery, and would like to pass on these merits to Bhante so that Bhante's own practice will prosper and improve continuously. And I would also like to mention with much respect Most Venerable Bhante Udayiregum Dhammajiva Mahatheru, the chief abbot of the Nisaranavane Forest Monastery, for insightfully requesting this program to be initiated, and wish that these merits will improve Chief Bhante's own practice as well. Plus, I would like to mention with gratitude the tremendous effort taken by the initial organizers, who are still working with much dedication to maintain the program at a high level of quality, and pass on merits to them so that their own practices will improve and prosper. And also thank you and much merits to all of you who have attended through the Zoom session and also through the Facebook live stream. You are providing us the reason, the justification for the program to be continued this way. So much merits to all of you, and I hope these merits will have a positive impact on your own practices as well. So I wish you all to have a happy and mindful week ahead, practicing more on these techniques and concepts, and also be ready to grasp more insight in the next week's session. This is a weekly program, so which means that every Saturday the program will be there at 1 p.m. Sri Lanka time, if any of you are attending, since some of you are attending from different parts of the globe. So with that, I would end the Zoom session for today. We will again meet next week, and hope you have a pleasant week ahead. Thank you so much.